Welcome everyone to episode 125 of Bike Club Show. This is Eileen.
This is Stephanie.
This is Shannon.
And this is Josh.
I'm not even, you know where to find us online. You know where we are. Well, maybe I'll repeat it at the end. But guess what? We need to do the recap of the season finale for season 3 Vampire Diaries right now.
Yeah.
Are you playing the music, Josh? See, we're so amped. Oh! One more month for that. Okay.
It's not June yet.
Oh, my God. Okay. I did not see it coming. Did you guys see it coming?
Totally did not see it coming.
Oh, I was like, I knew it was Matt, but yeah.
Yeah, so, I was like, okay, so Matt's going to die.
I know, me too. My. I was like, all right, and I'm crying. We have all these flashbacks, and I'm like, God, this really sucks for poor Elena. The car goes off the bridge exactly the same way her parents did, and that whole thing with her holding her dad's hand, and he, you know, she's saying, I love you and all this. So I was,
sad.
Oh, my God. And I was waiting for Stefan to come down there. I'm like, where is he? Okay, I did not think he was going to choose Matt. But I guess thinking to pull Matt out of the car first. But I guess, you know, he just did what Elena had respected. And boom, Dr. Fell gave us some vampire blood.
Go, so, Dr. Fell.
Hello, Miss Elena Vampire. And it's like, wow, this is like the same like angle from Breaking Dawn when Bella opened her eyes, except for I think did Elena kind of sit up? I think she sat up.
No, Elena took a deep breath and gasped for air, and then Bella just opened her red eyes.
Now she does need to complete the transformation, which is just drinking blood. But she's going to do that because the whole time I'm like, she's not going to die, you know? But
because otherwise she would have to die for real, and the series would be over.
And the series would be over. But I don't know why When I saw her in that car underwater and she just started to let go, I was like, oh, my God, she's dead. And I just didn't. I don't know. Did you guys even think?
I didn't think of it.
It really hit me when Alaric started to die.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And then I was like, wow, she really is dead. So what does this mean? I still at that point was like, I don't know what's happening until Dr. Fell said to Damon, I helped her out. And I'm like, oh, no way.
So cool.
Yeah, I was convinced they were going to pull some other like, oh, Bonnie was doing this spell in the background and sacrificed Jeremy's toes or something. You know, something to where like they'd say, oh, and she revived at the last minute, because then that way they could have killed Alaric but still got her back, you know. But then it was really when Dr. Fell said it that I was like, oh my God,
I can't
believe they went there.
But you know what, I'm actually really glad they did, because
it makes so many, much sense.
It makes so much sense. Yes, and she does turn into a vampire in the book, so you know, I think last season I was like, oh, when is that gonna happen? You know, we even talked about it after the first season. I just think it moves the story forward, and now we're not back into this is going to be a whole new Elena next season. So this choice of hers, yes, she made the choice. She picked Stefan, and I believed why she picked Stefan at that point when she was saying goodbye to Damon on the phone. I believed it. I was like, you know what? I knew it. I knew she was going to pick Stefan. But guess what? This new Elena, all bets are off. Who knows who she's going to like? You know, what other vampire is going to come? Maybe
her personality could be completely different now.
Completely different. And I think that opens up Elena to so much more than just Stefan and Damon and choosing one of them.
Ooh.
You know, I like that, actually. I feel like the writers can kind of go wherever they want with her now instead of it being the same old. It was getting a little tired of like the choosing. Who do you choose? Who do you choose? And she's telling, she's talking to Matt about it. She's talking to Jeremy about it. I'm like, okay, you know what? Just choose somebody, please. I'm so done. Did you guys feel the same way about the whole love triangle?
Yeah, the dynamic was really getting tiresome to me. I mean, through some great episodes, they would suck me back in and I would be completely engaged with it again. But then sometimes I felt like they were just treading water and they were repeating the same, you know, the same issues that the dynamic had. They kept doing it over and over again. So, yeah, I totally agree that this allows them to change the dynamic completely and take just everyone's relationship in some new directions. And they also don't have to be protecting her forever. You know, it's always been like, oh, Elena, you have to stay in the house. And oh, Elena, let's move you over here. And oh, Elena, you know.
She was getting tired of it herself. She's like, oh, come on.
I was really excited for the fact that, you know, she's a vampire now. She's strong and she's going to be, well, hopefully she'll be really independent and maybe she'll do what I want her to do and just, you know, have both of them. Because that's okay.
I mean, that's what Catherine told her to do.
I know.
By the way, did not show up this season. Just kind of sad about that.
Now, yeah, we got to see Elena and Catherine face each other both as vampires. That's going to be great.
That would be so awesome.
Catherine will coach her into being a vampire.
That would be so cool.
That would be really, really cool if that turned that way. So wait, so she's not going to have any more children, and then the doppelganger line ends at this point?
Oh, maybe.
How does that
well,
work?
We don't. I was reading
about
on
Jeremy.
I think.
Well, they're not related, remember?
Oh, really?
Remember, she's adopted.
Oh, shit.
Oh, that's right.
I
well, we don't.
I guess so.
I mean, I guess there could be other branches because apparently I was looking at the Vampire Diaries wiki earlier today. And they were at the doppelganger entry, and they were saying that it's not necessarily just the bloodline, because apparently the bloodline has continued along while the doppelganger just only every once in a while pops up, and we only know about the two, Catherine and Elena. Mm-hmm. So I guess there could be, you know, the bloodline, there could be like a cousin or something somewhere who's just immortal, but then maybe they'll, you know, they could give birth to a third doppelganger or something.
That looks like her or something later down the line. Yeah, that's
but also
true.
The way they described it, I hadn't really thought about this before, but really Catherine is like a great, 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 great grandmother.
She is. She is.
She should have some maternal feelings for Elena, but of course she doesn't because she's Catherine.
So true. So true. Stephanie, what did you think about this new
Elena
and the end of the end of this version of the triangle, at least love triangle.
I gotta say I'm excited for where it's gonna go. I mean, I echo all the things that you guys said, but I was still sad. Like I was still sad to see this Elena die, like her innocence, her, you know, humanity, if you will. I was mostly sad about Jeremy being on his own. You know, it's kind of nice what Alaric had said. You know, Alaric showed up as a ghost and saying, you know, is pretty much saying that, you know, I'll be here for you because you're alone. You know,
yeah. But is that going to be the good Alaric watching over her?
I think
Over him or the bad Alaric?
He seemed good.
Yeah.
He seemed good.
He seemed like the
he
old Alaric.
Normal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like he even responded to being called Rick.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. He
you're
was
right.
Totally normal.
You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the old.
You could see it in his eyes.
Yeah, and his face. There was something a Demeter, even in the hair. The hair was swept up nice instead of like the hair that was kind of dangling in front of his forehead and like angry.
Very similar to the Catherine slash Elena.
Yeah, it was a little messy with the vampire hunter Alaric, and then the well-coiffed Alaric is the Alaric of old, I guess. So
maybe he's purified in his ghost form.
Yeah, I think he is. I think we can bet on that. We may not see him every episode, but it seems like kind of the way, you know, Jeremy sees ghosts because of his death.
Go ahead. I did love the reveal that, you know, the way that Elena's death was revealed to Jeremy, though, because I didn't. Yeah, I was a little confused at first because Alaric just died and then he showed up looking real. And I forgot for a minute that Jeremy could see ghosts. And then he kind of just put it together. He's like, well, if you're a ghost, then Elena. And he's just like, he just looks so heartbroken. I was like, oh, there's just like so much heartbreak in this episode.
I know.
Like I was
oh,
even
so sad.
When Caroline and Tyler were saying goodbye to each other. I was just like, oh, my heart. Oh.
Well, I mean, go ahead.
Also, like they're not even like my favorite couple, but I believed like a lot of the goodbyes that were said in this episode.
I did too, and so I love the conversation later on between Rebecca and Elijah when Klaus was dead, and we'll get to that in a minute. And she's just like, but you know, they're talking about. He said that he was the one who did the bloodline. Why are they all still alive? You know, she was like, no. Or Elijah said, it's not me, it's not Cole. And she said, it's not me, it has to be Niklaus. You know, it has to be. But why are they still alive? And wow, that was the other. First of all, I didn't know that they would really finally, like, stick it to. I didn't think Alaric would do that. That was a little shocking.
I didn't either. I was expecting Klaus to come back next season.
Me too.
Me too. And so when Alaric got to him, I was like, wow. And then just I'm thinking, like I'm looking at the time, like, how much time do we have left in this episode? When are they all gonna die?
You know, when Klaus died, I was thinking, oh, well, maybe Bonnie did some kind of spell to put this mirror image in a casket while his body is somewhere else. Oh. I was trying to think up all these ideas because I was like, Klaus can't die. No, he can't die. He's gonna come back.
And you're right. In a different way. So does this mean now what was revealed was that, you know, when Damon left Bonnie in that room with Klaus in the storage locker, you know, obviously she was going to do some witchy spell, or Damon thought it was going to be just a tracker so that they know where he is when they dump him. Instead we find out that she transferred his body. And that was because knowing that he was the bloodline that all her loved ones were going to die if he died. So it was sort of protecting her friends. So,
like, and her mom too.
Okay, so what happens is, as we find out, which totally like, whoa, I can't believe that his spirit is now in Tyler, or his body. So is Tyler really dead?
So where's Tyler? Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, did Bonnie just basically, you know, kill Tyler or like send his spirit into limbo?
So I mean, because if we think back to when Klaus first arrived in that other guy's body, mm-hmm. and then they transferred Klaus into his own body, I think the other guy was just dead. We could ask, I mean, the viewers could probably remind us of what happened back then, but
yeah, I think you're right.
Didn't he possess Alaric's body for a little while as well?
He did, but wasn't Alaric, I'm trying to remember if Lark was just suppressed then, or if
that's
he was.
That's what I mean. Like, Tyler may not really be dead, right?
I think he was just suppressed.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's going to be one of my questions. I hope Julie Plec reveals, you know,
more. Yeah. But I was definitely shocked. So at what point was that Klaus when he was about to turn and then chewed Caroline away, or was that still Tyler and then it became Klaus at that point?
I don't know. Yeah.
There wasn't really a way to tell because it seemed like Tyler. He had me fooled.
Yeah, right. It did seem like Tyler because when he was Klaus, I believed it too.
Yeah. Yeah, he had all the Klaus mannerisms.
So. Yeah, and it was very like, I don't know, the mannerisms were a little bit more closed than what Tyler would have been. Tyler's a little more open in his movements. So I was definitely, I didn't see that coming either. I mean, I guess I just thought Bonnie was just going to do what she was going to do, and she just wanted to talk. That was a little freaky to see Klaus's eyes open as he's mummified down there.
I'm glad they did that, though, because that was why I was wondering why Klaus's mummification last episode made him so completely inert when Michael obviously was able to speak and things like that. When I guess Michael only did that after Catherine fed him some blood, though. But
oh, right. But he had been dormant for so many years. Klaus had only been dormant for like or paralyzed for like, yeah, a few days.
Yeah, that's true.
So did you guys, let's just going back, did you guys believe Elijah and that whole plan? You know, he wanted, I mean, he basically bargained with Elena and Stefan and all of them. Like, listen, just give me my brother's body. We'll scatter. And then they were like, why should we believe you? And he's like, because, you know, why do you want him? And then, you know, he just said, well, he's my brother. And then, you know, she kind of understood the brotherly love, you know, mm-hmm. obviously in her, Elena's, you know, believing that because of, you know, what she's doing to Stefan and Damon and knowing that they have a strong bond. Did you guys believe any of that with Elijah? I didn't know what to think.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like the bond between Elijah and Klaus was so weak just because Klaus had like screwed Elijah over so many times.
Yeah,
it wasn't believable to me that Elijah would really, really want Klaus's body that badly. I don't know.
I figured that he would have ulterior motives, but I also had the feeling that he didn't want to hurt Elena, so he was honest at least in that part about the whole explanation.
Yeah.
What do you think, Stephanie?
I'm kind of on the fence because I think I just believe that Elijah has a good intent and he will keep his word to a point.
Yeah.
And that point is always Klaus. He'll always give in to his family. So in the end, I didn't really believe him all the way. But yeah, the intent was there.
Yeah. I mean, I think it wasn't so much that I thought that he had an evil plan behind what he was telling them. I just sort of didn't believe it, like stepping outside of the story, like believing that Klaus would even, I just couldn't figure out why he would want Klaus's body. I was just like, huh.
I mean, he essentially just said, you know, it's because we're brothers. We go together. And I think that was kind of like a little nod to the way Stefan and Damon are. Like, in the end, they will treat each other the same too. Like, in the end, they go together no matter how much they fight.
Yeah, maybe so.
I guess so. It was just, it was, first of all, it was good to see him. And I do think that he is honorable. I agree. I think he's more a man of his word, and he knows he made a mistake back when he should have killed his brother at the sacrifice last season.
Yeah, way to go, Elijah.
Things changed, and then he got, you know, stuck in a coffin for a little while. It's like, oh, way to go. But it was really good to see him, and it seems like, you know, there. I mean, between him and Rebecca, I feel that there was the family bond, so... obviously she was torn apart when Klaus was finally killed. So, or his body was killed. Let's go back a little bit. What did you guys think about the flashbacks in the episode? Seeing Elena in her sophomore year as a cheerleader with Matt. What did you guys think?
It's so cute and so weird.
I know.
Yeah. So yeah, creepy.
That's a good description.
I like their little cheerleader outfits. I liked how innocent her
they were
her
so
life
skimpy.
Was. I love the phone calls. Like, the most concerning thing in her life was like, oh, Matt and I are fighting about college, and like,
yeah.
I thought it was really cute, and I just love the dynamic between her and her mom, Elena and her mother, and how her mother just kind of gave her this piece of advice that she could use now. Like, then the piece of advice she gave her about Matt was, you know, like, you're not losing him, you're just setting him free.
Yeah.
And you know, in the end, that's what she said to Damon. She's like, I'm going to have to let you go. I'm like, setting you free. So I was like, oh. So it was nice seeing her mom. The memorable scene with the dad was in the death scene, sadly.
Yeah.
But it was really nice to see. It was nice to see Aunt Jenna.
It was nice to see her. It was really brief. I thought there'd be a little bit more, but, you know, it was, she was living there. She was in the life, you know. We didn't see a young Jeremy, though.
Because he was in the bathroom.
Oh, I totally wanted to see that.
I was like, how are they going to do that? They're going to do something to his hair to make him... But he's grown. You know, he's gotten a little bit... it seems to me, since we first saw him in the first season, he's definitely grown up a little bit. Yeah. Like, I don't know what they would have done with makeup to make him... Because 14, he would have had to have been 14. And like,
it sucks that his only scene in the flashbacks was him in the bathroom doing Lord knows what.
Who knows what? I know.
That was a good way to solve that problem. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was, I thought it was well done, sort of like parallels of, you know, her life today and how she was stringing Matt along and how she's stringing both Stefan and Damon along. Before I forget, you know, the choice. What did you guys think about the flashback with Damon actually being the first one to meet Elena?
That was pretty great. Yeah, that was a great little addition. Yep.
Yeah, I was like, how does she, the whole time it was happening, like, how does she not remember it? And then he compelled her at the end.
Mm-hmm. I love that conversation that they had, just the whole thing about love. It gave me warm fuzzies when I was watching them talk to each other.
Well, and it was also one of those things when she said goodbye to Damon, she said, well, what, maybe if we had met first, you know? And wow.
It did.
And then the line where he was just like, oh, you want love and adventure and danger. And he's like, I want you to have all of these things. Like, he said that to her. I was like, oh, it was nice, Damon, when they first met.
Well, he thought, you know, part of me was like, well, wait, he kind of thought it was Catherine. And he was still pining for Catherine at that point.
That's true.
So part of me was like, he didn't really know this girl. But how often, like... did he track her after this? And then when did Stefan start tracking her? Because he did too. You know, he was watching over her. And, you know, I think he was watching her over her pre that accident. I don't know if he just happened to be near the accident and then he like went to try and save everybody. I'm not quite sure.
We're going to need more flashbacks.
I think so. Because isn't that the point of, you know, the beginning of the Vampire Diaries? He had been watching her and watching her and watching her.
I think
her.
So. Yeah, I think because.
Because he knew who she was.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember like how. I can't remember if at what point he knew that she. I mean, if he always knew she was the doppelganger or if that got revealed after they had actually started talking, or
I think he knew. I mean, he can hear everything, so he knows that that wasn't Catherine,
right?
But you know, he had been sort of watching from afar for a long time, and then finally he just couldn't help it, but he had to, you know,
right,
be a part of her life. So
right,
I wonder what the timeline was. Who, I mean, yes, that they met, but was Damon and Elena did meet early, but was that really the first time she met a Salvatore?
Right.
Or, I don't know. I guess so, because she would have remembered Stefan unless Stefan did the same thing. I don't know. I mean, there's so many scenarios in these in these shows. But yeah, I thought that conversation was pretty good. Okay, let's talk a little bit about Alaric.
Okay.
I don't know how much is there to say about him, but man, I wanted him to die. I was like, oh my God.
He was being a dick.
Really was. And his conversations with Jeremy and sort of like, look, you know, we gotta kill
all the vampires.
All the vampires and make sure Elena lives a long life, right?
Yeah. I had a very strong feeling that he was going to die in this episode, just because we knew that if he stayed the way that he was going to end up killing everybody in the show. And then second, because we knew he couldn't die without, he couldn't come back as his normal self without ending up dying and coming back as a ghost and being the normal Rick. So yeah, I just had a very strong feeling that was going to happen.
What did we say last week? Did we all bet that Matt was going to die?
He's just the easiest bet.
Yeah.
But he's not dead, though, because Stefan probably saved him, right?
Is he? They didn't show that, like, he was pretty unconscious for a while.
He was pretty unconscious, but yeah, I'm guessing that he was saved by...
Maybe he got some CPR.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, I have a feeling that he did survive, you know? He was just sort of unconscious, but... that's why Elena was telling, you know, Stefan, no, get him. And maybe she just wanted to die too, to sacrifice herself so that Alaric would die and all the people that she loved would stay alive. I don't know.
So Elena.
That is very Elena to do that.
I didn't understand how Alaric was able to get the upper hand with Damon so easily, because it didn't seem like the spell that was cast on him made him extra powerful, right? It was the main thing was that he has the invincible stake. Yeah, but I was like, Damon is so much older than him as a vampire. He should not be able to get him in a deadly headlock and all those kind of things.
Well, I guess it's the Ester spell, though, right? Remember he was... made to be the ultimate vampire, as strong as Michael, that kind of thing.
Oh, really? That was part of it? Okay, that's what
He was made to be like, he was made to be stronger than all of the vampires, including the originals.
Okay, I'd forgotten that. Okay, good.
Yeah, so that's why Rebecca ran, and I don't know. I mean, Larrick.
He was making moves this whole episode, though. I mean, that when he took over the founders meeting too, and he, revealed that the sheriff and the mayor's kids were like a vampire and werewolf.
Yeah. So what does that mean for Caroline? She's obviously still alive. So are her and, well, I guess Klaus Tyler going to run off together, or are they going to stay in town?
Caroline thinks that Tyler's dead.
She does think that Tyler is dead.
But he'll come back. And then, and then there's going to be this whole Klaus Caroline thing again. And then maybe, just maybe, you know, she'll fall in love with Klaus this time. As he's pretending to be Tyler, right?
Creepy.
Yeah, of course, Caroline, she does have to leave because, you know, as the parents said, they now they've been identified as supernatural. So anyone who sees them is going to pretty much try to take her out. So I think she's just going to be gone for a while.
Well, with Alaric dead, though, the council members,
they still know.
Well, can they? I don't know. Can someone make them forget? I know. Can someone make them forget?
They're always taking all of them for vain, right? That's the problem. But I could.
Damon can do it, probably.
Yeah. Well, I could see some elaborate plot, you know, where they figure out how to replace each person's vervain with something else, and you know, they compel them all one by one. So that might be something that starts off.
Sounds like an a really boring undertaking, though. Yes, they could technically do it, but I just feel like.
Oh, they don't have to show it. They could just say that's what they did. I did Mr. Smith the other day, so now everyone's forgotten.
Or Bonnie could just magically do another spell. It's handy to have a witch in town, right? Bonnie could just do that. I don't know. I can see that happening too. Like, hey, Bonnie, good job with the spells last night. So I guess we're out of trouble for now. You know what I mean?
They can throw in some exposition and handle it.
Yeah. Oh, I love the scene where Elijah, going back to that scene where he's negotiating with everybody, like, you know, give me back Klaus's body. And Damon's on the phone driving the body. He's like, no!
Damon's conference call. Always like,
funny.
No.
Yeah. I mean, because, you know, we were all thinking it like, no, come on. Why would you say yes? You can't say yes. So somebody has to be our voice. And that happens to always be Damon, where he's like, hello. No, may I remind you what we have here? Oh, my God. God, I mean, there's so much going on. I mean, obviously Dr. Fell will be back next season, unless she gets her medical license revoked, but I think we could fix that, with Rick gone. I really feel like Elena is going to be a vampire next season. I mean, I really hope that they don't renege on that and have some Bonnie spell or some weird thing. Because this is great.
I don't think so. This, they've got to move forward with this. They have to.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or else I'm gonna be a little irritated. And yeah. I just loved that scene where Stefan was sitting with her, with her dead body, and he just looks so dejected, like.
He looks like a sad little puppy.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I don't think he knew. I think he thought that she didn't was know. Going to. Yeah. He thought she was going to pick Damon. I think. You know. Remember when he kissed her before he left? You know. Maybe this is for the last time because he's thinking like,
maybe
well,
there's no later.
Yeah. And I felt like he looked at her when he kissed her as if, wow, you are going to pick Damon. You know. I don't know. Maybe.
Well, I don't know. It was a little hard to read.
When she spoke to him and she was like, oh wait, Damon. Stefan. And then he turned around and she was like, never mind. I'll talk to you later afterwards.
Right.
When he walked out, I felt like he was thinking, oh my God, she's not going to pick me.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. The whole time I thought that too. And I think at that point, I thought she was going to pick Damon too. And I think when she got on the phone and said otherwise, that I was pretty shocked actually. I thought,
yeah, I was
really
surprised.
I don't know.
It's like, you know, you want Damon.
Oh, she does. She's just ages in a different way.
Yeah.
She's just got too much history with Stefan.
Well, he did save her.
Yeah. At that point. He makes her want to be alive, that sort of thing.
Yes.
Well, too late now, huh?
No. Oh, I know. If she can't feel alive now, I guess
she's like, a vampire.
She can go with her raw emotions for Damon now.
I guess so. Maybe. Maybe that'll happen. They'll think of a way to bring this triangle back in a different dynamic that hopefully won't be so played out, you know?
Right.
All right. What are your, okay, so we've kind of gone there a little bit in terms of possibly what's going to happen next season. What are you guys hoping for next season?
Just to see the dynamic be something new and to be surprised by it. So yeah. and I think I will be, just because I don't, they can't really repeat, you know, the way everything's been set up and really it's been as, you know, they've done as many variations on the current dynamic as they can. So yeah, I'm really, really intrigued to see. I'm really hoping they take this as an opportunity to go some new interesting places, right. You know, and also there's that whole period of when you're first a vampire and all your, you know, all your sensations are so heightened and strengthened, mm-hmm. and your passions are wild. And so that could cause all kinds of interesting messes, you know, for Elena. That would be, we were talking about it earlier, but that would be funny if she runs kind of wild and Catherine has to be brought in to tame her or something. That's what I hope for.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out, obviously, you know, the Elena being a vampire is going to be the big topic until the next season. But I'm wondering who, there's always a bad guy in this show. Who's going to be the bad guy?
Bonnie.
Maybe. Ooh.
Bonnie, really?
Yeah, then she's just on her own now. She's like making her own decisions. And
I was thinking maybe Elena changing into a vampire may turn her into kind of a bad guy.
Oh, that would be crazy.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Mm. Well, but we don't, I mean, I don't know.
But then the distinction between her and Catherine becomes so fuzzy that'd be kind of hard to, I don't know, that'd be hard for them to, they would have to do some really good writing to make that work and to keep those characters.
To flop Catherine into being the good girl, yeah. to the one you want to root for.
Yeah.
Well, they did it with Damon. I mean, he was kind of like the jerk in the beginning, and then, you know, by the end of the season, where you're kind of rooting for him to, you know, to mm-hmm. be to come out on top in the end. And I feel like they could do it with Catherine. And it's just funny that we're even like talking about all this because she wasn't even in season 3.
Well, she was. Remember in the Chicago episode? Just a few episodes
around the corner,
right? And then she was her fault that Michael came back alive because you know he ate her or drank her blood or whatever.
Well, that's for a true. Bit. Okay,
but you're right. She wasn't in the majority of the season. You're right.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. I'm excited for the unknown. Like you guys said, it's the whole story can go anywhere the writers want it to now that Elena's is vampire. So it just like the unknown is just very intriguing to me of like, what's she going to be like? Who's she going to be with? If anyone, like, it, you know, and I'm excited for the other characters as well. I'm very interested to know like how Caroline and Tyler's story and Klaus's story is going to turn out. Mm-hmm, and,
isn't the next season going to be the end of their senior year?
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yeah, we read that.
That's
going
to be interesting too. Just listening knowing how your senior year changes you and going through graduation, all the goodbyes and everything. I'm really looking forward to seeing how they interact with that whole subject.
Mm.
Yeah, they're going to spend like the first like quarter or third of the season just getting them to graduate, you know. So they'll graduate in the middle of the season and then things happen. So I think, you know, maybe they'll, I don't know who's going to go to college or who's going to stay, or, you know, obviously it's going to be weird for Elena because she's a vampire now. I mean, like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah. And who's going to make her a ring?
Oh,
Bonnie's probably pissed at everybody right now.
I think Bonnie will still make her a ring. Don't you think?
I think so. I mean, she did save everybody.
Yes, true.
So I don't think she's totally, alienated against all of them right now. So.
Yeah, I thought she and Elena made up recently. Like, they are. I mean, remember she was really angry because of the whole, you know, her mom thing. But I think they kind of patched that up, if I'm not mistaken.
That's true.
So
I just still feel like she still has this, like, weird, I don't know, dislike for vampires. I wonder just how she's.
Oh yeah.
How's she going to take Elena being one of them now? And she's like, oh, I have to make another ring for another. Another species.
Seriously, guys, you're just using me for my powers.
Yeah, exactly. God, she gets stronger and stronger every time she has to use her her powers, doesn't she? I mean, now I'm convinced. I'm like, dude, Bonnie's, she's it, man. She knows what she's doing now. I don't think she's that, you know, young witch anymore. She's gone through. She's done a lot of heavy spells.
Right.
A lot of heavy spells. So I feel like she is. I mean, I'm sure she has some more to learn, but
Yeah, she's legit now. Like, she doesn't need anyone else, really. Like, yeah. She did all those spells on her own.
She did, yeah. But we did gradually get to a point where she could do that, where it wouldn't have looked, you know, impossible, you know? Because the first season, she was still learning that she was a witch. And now, after the end of the third season, yes, now she's strong enough to take on her own. Like, remember, we met her cousin, like, last season. We thought, oh, wouldn't it be great if she stayed and helped Bonnie? I don't think we need her anymore.
She didn't need her. Yep.
Nope. No. Yeah, you're right.
She's smart enough, and obviously she, you know, is hiding the fact that Klaus is still around. My God. By doing that spell. So I think she's going to be able to whip out that ring really quickly or necklace. Because Catherine has a necklace, right? Isn't that what Catherine has?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So I don't even know. But honestly, this finale, just I was sitting there on my couch like, what? And what did you guys, what was your reaction when she woke up? I mean, seriously, like when she woke up and you knew that, oh my God, Elena's a vampire.
I think I said holy crap like 3 times in a row.
Yes.
It's like, holy, I totally didn't see it coming, and I couldn't believe they went there. I mean, it made sense at the same time, but I was just in shock.
I had no idea immediately
and was like, I'm in shock. Yeah.
I too had conversations with myself on the couch about this. I was just like,
Corey didn't say anything. Was he?
No, he was in the other room, but I'm sure he heard me conversating with myself.
Oh my God.
Keith looked at me like I was nuts. He was like,
situation at hand is crazy.
What happened? I'm like, oh, Elena's a vampire. And he goes, oh, yeah, that's cool. Well, it is so cool.
I came into the office and I turned on my computer. I was like, oh my God, oh my God. And Tom's like, was it good? I'm like, oh my God, do you want me to tell you? And he's like, sure. Because he doesn't watch the show. He knows a little bit what's going on. He hears things and he's seen some episodes. I said, Elena's a vampire. And then he said, finally. I was like, I guess I've talked to you about this before. Yeah, finally. Yeah, our significant others stuck with us watching these shows. I'm now more excited than ever. I was kind of thinking, how are they going to make next season interesting with Klaus going? I felt like Klaus was going to go away because you said, Stephanie, that his contract wasn't renewed.
Yes.
And I was like, well, what? Like you said, who's the bad guy? So in a way, in a theory,
Klaus Tyler.
I know. Yeah, that's true. Klaus is still around. You're right. But it is Tyler that he's in. So I guess Klaus is still there. But hey, Michael Trevino gets a very interesting role playing.
Yeah, he got a lot more interesting. There's been a few times this season where I was like, oh, Tyler's going to die. It'd be okay if Tyler died. No, he's actually a key character now. He's a key person in the plot line.
Oh, yeah. So, oh, yeah.
Good for you, dude.
Yeah. Way to go. Way to get that contract renewal and a better, richer storyline too. So, but is his time up at the end of the season? We'll see. But I don't think Tyler's dead. The Tyler that we know, I think he's just embodied by Klaus.
Once you guys pointed out when Rick's body was possessed by Klaus before, that Rick was just kind of, you know, he was still there. He was just being suppressed. And then I was like, oh, okay. So Tyler's probably. It's probably the same situation. Tyler's still there.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Tyler's going to be pissed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when he does come back, he'll be like,
And especially, like, I don't actually know if the possessed body can witness what is happening or if they just wake up and they don't know what happened. But if Tyler can see everything that's going on with his body, oh, my God, he is going to be immensely angry.
Yeah, that whole goodbye when they were like, hey, just meet in 2 hours. I was like, which one of them
That's
is dead? I know. I was like, which one of them is dead? How is this going to turn out? I was just thinking the whole time, but it turned a little bit differently as I thought. So kudos to the writer. Kudos. So there is a link that I'll put in our show notes. And supposedly at around midnight, we'll see update. Our chat with Julie Plec is live. Okay. So Julie Plec is the executive producer of one of the executive producers of The Vampire Diaries. And we'll put this link in. This is too long for us to discuss. But She talks about the season four finale. Okay, let me just read this. How long have you known Elena would end season three in a transition to become a vampire? So, Julie says, the ending had been in the works for about 2 years. In the first series of books, that's what happens to her. See, I knew she turned early. Ah. When Kevin Williamson and I first came on the show, we said, well, it can't happen to her the way it happens in the books, which is like on page 200. That felt obviously too soon and rushed, and we didn't want to make a show about a teenage girl who instantly becomes a vampire. But we always knew that her journey would take her there eventually, and we just kept riding the wave of when it felt right. You've got a girl who just sort of lost her last adult living family member when Aunt Jenna died last year. So when we started the season, what we really wanted to do was begin this relationship with Alaric as her guardian and mentor, and then tear that away from her at the end, leaving her and her brother with nobody. It felt like now was the time when you're left with no grown-up, no adult supervision, no parent, no guardian for Elena to experience the next evolution of her journey. All that stuff that we did with her, having her get stronger over the course of the year, training and getting in touch with her physical self, and all the grief and all the emotion that she went through, all the compassion that she has for everybody, it will all play into next year and what kind of person and vampire she will actually be if she should choose to see the transition through. She will. Oh, I mean, how do you not have 22 episodes without her?
Just putting that in there is,
she has to. She has to.
So essentially she's saying she's going to be like a badass because she has all that training. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be heightened. And then she's going to be also like the most loving, loyal, inspirational vampire ever.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like parallel to Bella, right? So Bella is, if you know, she will be the strongest vampire in the Twilight universe. So it's kind of, you know, moving in that way. I always thought Elena was strong anyway as a young high school girl. I always thought she had it in her. You know, with Bella, I don't think her strength was not really identified till later.
A lot of vulnerabilities.
Yeah. There was a lot, too much crying, too much staring, too much, I don't know, too much longing for Edward. And I know I know Elena longed for Stefan and Damon quite a bit, but it was a little bit different, I think. So. Yeah. I don't know. I'm very excited. I really think that this they ended the season right with a lot going on. And I'm very, very like, I now want to go see this panel for the Vampire Diaries at Comic-Con because I think they just did a fantastic job that I want to know more. And I want to see a sneak peek of next season and all of that stuff. So I don't know. Hopefully we'll get to do that.
You think they'll have it ready? Like a sneak peek of next season by Comic-Con?
Yeah, they didn't last year, did they? They just had like that. Oh, they had Damon
in the shirtless.
Yeah.
Like the first episode of him coming out of the bathtub, like naked.
Yes. They may not because they might, you know, they may not have been shooting enough or, you know, that kind of thing. But we'll see. So anything to add? Oh, there is a Vampire Diaries convention in San Francisco on July 28th and 29th. There was a promo during the show that Paul Wesley and Ian Somerhalder were going to be there. Are we going?
I won't be here. I'll be at DEF CON.
Oh, look at you.
I want to. I think I don't know. You can look up the prices, but I feel like it was like super
expensive.
You guys expensive.
Take pictures and try to steal one of them.
Steal one of them.
Well, Nina Dobrev would be pissed if we stole Ian, and Dr. Fell would be pissed if we took Paul.
I could take her.
Oh, wait, she's going to be there. She's going to be at the convention.
Bring it on, Dr. Fell.
So, okay, besides Ian and Paul, Zach Roerig, who plays Matt, will be there. Michael Trevino, who plays Tyler. Daniel Gillis, who plays Elijah. Stephen R. McQueen, who plays Jeremy, and Tori DeVito, who plays Dr. Meredith, and Matthew Davis, who plays Alaric.
Oh, Alaric's going to be there. Even though he's dead.
Yeah, this is good. I mean, that's a good chunk of the important, you know, I mean, you could throw away Matt, but, you know, all of them, we always say that. Is it terrible? Should we not be mean to Matt?
So, Nina Dobrev isn't going to be there, though?
I guess not.
Oh, that's the one bummer. No Caroline, no Bonnie, no
Where are the
no
ladies Nina. At?
I know. It's very few of the ladies. She appears at some of the others. I clicked on some of the other ones. I was like, oh, why no love for the Bay Area?
She must be doing a movie or something, or I don't know.
She's doing a movie with Kellan Lutz.
From she Twilight. Is?
Yeah. Oh. There's I don't know when it starts, but there's a link on our Facebook page that talks about how they've been casted for this new movie called, I'm looking it up right now. Sorry.
Orlando gets all three of them, by the way. So Orlando.
Called Kid Cannabis.
Kid Cannabis. Okay.
So we'll hear more about it later, I'm sure.
Well, you know, there could be, they could add her at the last minute. I don't know. Maybe. But, you know, it's the first one. It's the first out of four Vampire Diaries conventions, and that's the one in the Bay Area. There's another one in New Jersey, then Florida, Orlando, Florida, and then Rosemont, Illinois, which is near Chicago. So,
holy cow.
Yeah.
Pretty successful show. I mean, what other shows have their own conventions?
Right. Yeah.
Conventions.
Star Trek. Yes. Yeah. You got to be up there. And those are pretty popular. And then, of course, you know, the Twilight conventions and stuff. So that's pretty cool. They have their own thing. Lynn and I used to talk about going to the Twilight ones, and then we never did. Oh, wait, yeah, ticket options, how much are they? Oh, yeah, they're pretty expensive.
They're pretty pricey.
Yeah, they're pretty pricey. I don't know.
But if anyone out there goes, I want to hear about it.
$299?
$300.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's the gold weekend.
There's some day passes.
Oh, there's some day passes for $20. That's not bad.
We're
but it's like one
sponsors.
Day. One day of the convention. Yeah. End of
Hey, hold on. We're media. Dude.
You're right. Dude. All right. That's true.
I always forget about that part.
That's true. This could be kind of funny. I don't know what I'm doing on the 20th and 29th, but I don't know. All right. Well, any parting words before we say good night?
Awesome.
Yeah. Great season.
Can't wait till the next season.
Yeah, me too. All right, until next time. Bye.
Bye.